you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hello, and welcome to The Upgrade, the podcast from the team at Lifehacker, where we help you improve your life one week at a time. I'm Melissa Kirsch, editor-in-chief of Lifehacker.
And I'm Alice Bradley, Lifehacker's deputy editor.
And today we're talking about how to care less what other people think. Sometimes we're so obsessed with how we come off, whether other people approve of our actions and decisions or how we look or how much we make. It can be absolutely paralyzing, don't you think?
Totally.
Hey, Alice.
Yes, Melissa.
Do you think you've achieved a healthy balance as far as caring what other people think?
I think I'm getting better as I get older.
Yeah.
I definitely, you know, I spend most of my teens worrying way too much. And then in my 20s and 30s, just gradually less and less, realizing that most people are more worried about how they come off than they are how you're coming off.
It's true.
How about you?
Yeah, I agree. I think that once you really internalize that idea that people are thinking about themselves, they're not thinking about you, they are the stars of their own feature film, and you are a supporting role, if you even figure beyond extra,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Most people are barely seeing you because they're thinking about themselves, and that can be really comforting. I think we forget that a lot. I certainly forget that. And I think this is something that a lot of people deal with, which is wanting other people to like them, you know, and needing to be popular. And I think that, as you said, comes from, you know, it's a primitive urge. Mm-hmm. You know, as a child, you acted in such a way to get your parents' love and the love of people around you. And so we're hardwired to please other people.
Yep.
And it can be difficult to shake that off.
Right. Otherwise, you get eaten by you know, cougars.
Yes.
Leopards.
Oh, even farther back than that. Yeah.
Panthers.
Right. Right. If you weren't cute enough, you got eaten.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the way it always went.
Yeah, if you weren't cooing.
Yeah.
That's why I'm always cooing.
Yes. That's why you lie on your back with your limbs up in the air, dead bug.
Yep. That's why you have to swaddle me every day.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it works.
I appreciate it.
It works.
So obviously, this is a really important topic and totally universal. And we thought Mark Manson, author of The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, would be the perfect person to speak on this topic.
It's not about being indifferent. It's about finding the two or three things that are really, really worthwhile. Because once you find those, then all the small stuff becomes more muted. It stops affecting you or influencing you as much.
We've also got a Ripped from the Archive segment featuring our 2017 chat with writer Samantha Irby, who pretty much gives off an aura of not caring at all what people think of her.
Truly.
I am not a real, like, take me as I am kind of person. Like, if you don't like me, it's all good. But what I am is kind of a lazy person. And I tried to do the thing where you pretend to be into something you're not. And it's not only is it exhausting, how long can you keep that going?
God, she's smart.
She really is. I mean, I think we can all learn a little something about not lying about who you are, right?
Totally.
Why would you do that?
I have no idea, because you want people to like you.
That's true.
Hey, Alice.
Hey, Melissa.
So last week, we asked our listeners to give us a ring and tell us about their best strategies for caring less what people think. And we got some good voicemails. I wanted to play you one.
Let's hear it.
Hello. I was calling to leave a message for The Upgrade. The way that I try to keep my worry about people down is I like to think of myself as my future self. So like 10, 12 years ago, I was in high school and I was having high school problems, conflicts with others. But now, just 10 years later, I don't think about those people at all. It was just a moment that didn't even really define me too much. And my life has entirely changed. Their lives have entirely changed. And that's just in 10 years. So I like to think well, maybe I'm at that point right now, and 10 years from now, I won't care about it. So it really helps put things in perspective. Thanks. Love the show. Bye.
Very good advice.
Although I will say I used to take this advice in college when I would not go to any of my classes because I think I'm not going to remember these in 10 years.
But, you know, it can.
But you know what? I was right.
You were right. And What did you do instead of going to class?
I hung out with my friends. And do I remember those wonderful times? Absolutely.
Great.
Every second of them.
Good.
In my diaries.
Wonderful. But, you know, thinking about your future self, I've heard advice given that's similar that says, you know, think about acting now in the present so that, you know, you are thinking about the person in 10 years and how you'll be helping that person, or thinking about the person 2 hours from now, you know, who will feel good about the way that they acted, or, you know, be happy with their life. You know, if you think about yourself in the future and that the things that you're doing now are either going to be inconsequential to them or that you're setting that future self up for success, I think that both of those are really helpful, and especially helpful when you're thinking about when you are worried about how much you care about other people's opinions of you.
Right. Yeah. Are you going to remember the risk you took 10 years from now? Or are you going to remember the slight embarrassment you felt before taking the big risk?
Totally. So next week, we're talking about public speaking.
We are. And if you have tips or tricks that you want to share with us, give us a call at 347-687-8109.
We want your tips. We want your tricks. And if you have neither, we also want to hear stories of times that you really flubbed it in public speaking.
When you cried.
When you fainted.
When you fell over. When you knocked over your presentation.
When you peed yourself.
Mm-hmm. When you threw up right on.
When you peed yourself during a toast.
Yep. Oh, God. The worst. So the number again is 347-687-8109.
Or send us a voice memo to upgrade@lifehacker.com. And now it's time for the interview. Our guest this week is Mark Manson, author of the international bestseller, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, A Counterintuitive Approach to Living a Good Life, and more recently, Everything is Fucked, A Book About Hope.
Mark writes about how to get over yourself, so we asked him on The Upgrade to talk with us about how we can stop caring what people think and get on with our lives.
Hi, Mark. Thank you so much for being here.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So in 2015, you wrote this essay, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Yes.
Which ultimately became your best-selling book in 2016. What inspired the essay?
You know, it's funny. It's kind of a story of almost anti-inspiration. I was in a pretty dark place when I wrote it, to be honest. I had just, she's not my wife, but at the time, my girlfriend, there were certain issues. She had to go back to her country. I was dealing with some family issues, and it was just one of those days that I was in a little bit of a depression, a little bit of a funk. And I have this tendency when I get bummed out, I get very sarcastic. I get like scathingly sarcastic, like almost like borderline mean. And so I just wrote this article and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let it rip. I'm going to be like as obnoxious and vulgar as possible. But I'm also going to give really, really good life advice so that the reader doesn't know what to do with it. And I wrote it out and then I looked at it and I was like, there's no way I can publish that. And then the next day my assistant was like, no, we have to publish this. And so we published it the next day. I think it got shared like over a million times, something like 9 million page views. It was nuts.
Wait, so you were going through this rough time and you decided to write an essay about not giving a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Like, how were you able to get to that place?
Well, because I needed it. This is kind of like the secret of my writing, I guess, is the stuff I write, it's not because other people need it. It's because I need it. You know, mm-hmm. I was in a spot where I was just really upset about a lot of stuff that I didn't want to be upset about. And so the harshness, the sarcasm, it was very much directed at myself. Of like, you know, get over yourself. Nobody gives a fuck. You know, this is stupid. Like, don't you have better things to give a fuck about? Because clearly not. Because if you did, you wouldn't be so upset right now. You know, so I was talking to myself primarily. I try to use that as kind of a starting point for all of my work. And then if I feel like I have something good that other people can benefit from, then I kind of edit it or tweak it for the public.
So you talk about not giving a fuck as being a subtle art. What are those subtleties that inform not giving a fuck?
The first thing that I always point out to people is that not giving a fuck, it's not about being indifferent. Indifference is actually a whole nother kind of form of weakness in and of itself. Like, you have to care about something in your life. You have to give a fuck about something in your life. So the question is what are you choosing to give a fuck about? And it's not about being indifferent. It's about finding the two or three things that are really, really worthwhile. Because once you find those, then all the small stuff kind of becomes more muted. It stops affecting you or influencing you as much. So generally, when people come to me and they say, like, I care way too much what people think, my first response is, you need to find something that matters more than what people think. That's the problem. The problem isn't that you wish, you know, you need to stop caring what people say about you. It's that you need to find something else that is so much more important that they can say whatever they want. Yeah. It's not going to change your mind. Mm-hmm.
Do you care what people think?
Of course. I'm human.
Yeah. Okay. So how do you get past that?
I've blogged for 11 years. So there's a certain amount of desensitization that mm-hmm. has come along with that. You know, just pure, like, brute suffering.
Just reading everything people just write
thousands
to you
of
and
comments.
About you.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. But I, you know, for me, when I start to get a little bit insecure or anxious about what I'm doing or what people are saying or, you know, book sales or whatever, I try to zoom out and see the big picture, you know, understand that for me, in my particular situation, it's writing, but like my career, it, you know, it's a lifelong commitment. And this is a marathon, you know, it's not a sprint. So maybe I'm losing today or this month, but overall, over the course of like 40, 50 years, there's so much more game to be played, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is I try to focus on my mission. You know, I try to be very conscious of like what values or purpose is driving me in my life. And again, it comes back to that mission for me matters way more than, you know, some 16-year-old on Twitter talking shit about whatever. So, you know, I just kind of back off, remind myself, you know, why I'm doing this and kind of try to get to a point where I can laugh about it a little bit.
You talk a lot about having the right values to guide your decision-making and in determining how many fucks you have to give and mm-hmm. where, in what arenas you're going to give those fucks. Can you talk a little bit about what makes for you a good value and what makes a bad value?
So generally speaking, I argue that the things that we should be caring about are generally things that are within our own control. So you can't control, you know, what people say or think about you. You can't control whether you're loved or appreciated all the time. All you can control is your own actions, your own integrity. And so I think the first thing to focus on in terms of values is find something internal and controllable. Because generally what happens is that when you get the internal things correct, the external things start happening as a byproduct of that.
Well, I guess that's the question, right? Because right. you want to have nice things or because you want to have a really enviable Instagram presence. You know, but I'm joking, but I'm not, right? Because,
right.
You know, it's all a confection, right? Like, influencers on Instagram have
sure.
these storybook lives and they're, you know, it's
bullshit.
All staged or whatever. But we want those things. We want that kind of life for ourselves. And we are sort of performing ourselves all the time mm-hmm. on social media and
yeah.
looking for those likes and looking for the appreciation from other people. And that's something that's really hard to just sort of step out of because it does feel like the attention economy is one in which anybody can get rich.
Yes. So I wouldn't say the goal is not to step out of it. The goal is simply, because obviously we all want that. We all want to be admired and we all want to be, you know, Instagram famous or whatever. These are all nice things. We all like money's great. Everybody wants money. You know, there's nobody who like doesn't want money. You know, the point I try to make in my work is that it's about prioritization. It's about like, where is your first principle? Is your first principle being Instagram famous? And then your second principle is doing good work or like adding value to people around you. Because if it's in that order, then you're going to do some pretty shallow and superficial things and probably hurt people. But if your first principle in terms of like what motivates you is doing good things and adding value to people around you, and, you know, say seventh or eighth down the ladder is being Instagram famous. Not only is that much healthier for you mentally, but I would argue it actually increases the probability that you become Instagram famous.
Mm-hmm. I think people don't even think about these things. They don't think about what their first values are, their first principles. They're just seeing stuff online. They're taking it in and feeling like this is what I need to have because this is what I'm looking at.
Yeah. Autopilot, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think for decades now, most self-help or personal development content, it's all been about like how to be successful and how to have a great relationship and how to be happy. And nobody ever like stopped and questioned the definitions of success or happiness or whatever. Because if your definition of success is poor, then it doesn't matter how hard you work or what knowledge you have, like you're going to end up in a bad spot. So the subtle art is all about stopping people and saying like, hey, what is your, like, how are you defining success to yourself? How are you defining what is important in life? Because whether you realize it or not, you are always choosing what your definition of success is. And if you have a bad definition, you're just going to get eaten up.
The Upgrade is brought to you by Zapier. Hey, Alice.
Hey, Melissa.
You know, growing a business is hard.
Oh, don't I know it.
Especially when you're wasting hours every day moving data from emails to spreadsheets to your CRM to wherever.
To wherever, yep.
Shouldn't that kind of stuff just happen without you lifting a finger?
Yes, yes, it should.
Well, Zapier can help.
Oh.
Zapier is the easiest way to automate your work. It connects all your business software and handles work for you so you can focus on the things that matter most.
Like our friendship?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. No more wasting your time on tasks that you know could be automated, because that's exactly what Zapier was built to do.
That's exactly what Zapier was built to do. That sounds funny when you say that way.
Just go to the link zapier.com/lifehacker, connect the apps you use most, and let Zapier take it from there.
That seems suspiciously easy.
Zapier lets you instantly engage with leads, send them to a CRM or spreadsheet, then notify your team so they can act fast on every opportunity.
Amazing.
And that's just scratching the surface.
What?
Zapier supports more than 1,500 business applications, so the possibilities are virtually endless.
Oof.
Best of all, it's easy to build the exact solution you need in minutes without writing code or asking a developer for help.
I hate asking for help.
Join more than 4.5 million people who are saving an average of 40 hours per month by using Zapier. Right now, through November, try Zapier free by going to zapier.com/lifehacker. That's zapier.com/lifehacker for your free 14-day trial. What's the address, Alice?
zapier.com/lifehacker.
The Buddhist idea of self or non-self and how you incorporated this into your own life.
One of the kind of the core principles of Buddhism is that there is no self, that basically your idea of who you are is kind of this made up arbitrary thing in your head. And most people, when we're first exposed to that idea, it's kind of scary. You know, we're very attached to ourselves. We're like, wait a second, I worked really hard for this self. I don't want to know that it's not here. But I've actually found it to be incredibly helpful, because a lot of kind of the stories and narratives that we invent around ourselves, that maybe it's like, I'm not talented, I'll never be good at this, or oh, people just don't like me. You know, these are all arbitrary constructions that we created at some point in our lives and we've clung to. And so kind of relinquishing this idea that there's this like permanent self inside you, I think frees you from a lot of those narratives.
It's hard to go from believing that other people's opinions matter, right? Like your family's opinions, your friends' opinions, the strangers on social media, people on the street, people you meet on a dating app, all your various audiences. Mm-hmm. You know, we walk around really, really concerned about what kind of feedback we're getting or what people think of us. What's a strategy for like really internalizing the idea that I don't have to care about this?
I mean, one thing I think is starting to become important in our culture, and I think it's going to become more and more important in our culture, is that I think we need to start pruning our exposure to people and things, start limiting our exposure. You know, I think for the last 20 to 25 years, we've operated on this assumption that being more connected with each other all the time through technology and Facebook and texting and everything, like, this is a good thing. We should all be as connected as possible. And I think we're kind of getting overloaded right now. It's too much. And so one of the things that I found very effective in my own life is just cutting out a lot of these channels in which I connect and interact with people, and then being very conscious about when I engage those channels. And also being very conscious of, like, who I engage with, being a little bit more stringent about who I allow into my life, who I communicate regularly with in my life. We need to learn how to cut back. So yeah, I think that's the first step for any of this stuff. You know, if there's a person in your life that is just constantly making you feel better, or an Instagram account that's always making you feel better, like, just cut it off. There's no obligation to be interacting with these things or these people all the time. You don't have to.
Why do we think we have to? Why do we do that?
Yeah. It's a good question. I think a lot of people, it's guilt. You know, they have this sense of, who am I to remove somebody from my life? I have a chapter in Subtle Art called The Importance of Saying No. And I talk about how most of us are intensely anxious about saying no to people or things. But it's a necessary life skill at this point.
And we want to be empathetic and caring too, which sort of, I think, some people confuse with just letting people walk all over them.
Absolutely. And in fact, sometimes the most caring thing you can do is cut a person off.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the thing they need the most is somebody to say, no, I'm not dealing with your shit anymore.
Have you done that in your life?
Oh yeah. 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 And it's been done to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's some of the best things that have happened to me have been some pretty harsh rejections.
You want to tell us about any of them? Some real pain. I want to hear some really bad rejections.
Something juicy. Well, I talk about one I talk about in the book, but, you know, my first serious girlfriend cheated on me and left me for her teacher. And yeah, that threw me for a loop. And it took me years to realize that, you know, I spent years being intensely angry at her, but eventually, with the benefit of time and a little bit of maturity, I started to realize, like, you know what? I kind of dodged a bullet there, you know, because it's like, this could have been 10 years of pain instead of 4, you know? And the other thing that I realized as time went on is that I had been a pretty shitty boyfriend. And it was interesting because in my next relationship, my second serious girlfriend, she started kind of pointing out things that the first girlfriend used to point out. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'm not like 100% the victim here. Like, maybe I was kind of a dick too. So it was very formative for me.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever get asked about, how can somebody so young have this kind of wisdom? Or why are you the vessel?
Right.
Why are you the messenger for this?
Yeah, that comes up quite a bit. You know, it's not rocket science, right? And the point I always go back to, and I think this is really important, is I don't pretend to have all this stuff figured out. Like, it's easy to intellectually figure this stuff out. Mm. You know, you just go read a bunch of books, you know, and then it's not like I've implemented all this stuff perfectly into my life. And if you follow me around for a week, you'd be like, oh my God, we should all be like this guy. Like, no, I'm in the trenches too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just writing about being in the trenches, and I guess spend more time reading and thinking about the issues.
Thank you so much for talking
Thank
with
you.
Us about
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely.
This was great.
Thanks for having me.
The Upgrade is brought to you by NetSuite. Hey, Alice.
Yes, Melissa.
If you don't know your numbers...
I don't know my business.
That's right. The problem growing businesses have that keeps them from knowing their numbers is their hodgepodge of business systems. That's right. They have one system for accounting, another for sales, another for inventory, and so on. It's just a big, inefficient mess, taking up too much time and too many resources,
yeah.
And that hurts the bottom
line. The bottom line. I was going to say that. That
yeah.
hurts the bottom line.
You're
my
always,
bottom line is hurting.
You're always worrying about the bottom line.
Always.
Introducing NetSuite by Oracle, the business management software that handles every aspect of your business in an easy-to-use cloud platform, giving you the visibility and control you need to grow. With NetSuite, You save time, money, and unneeded headaches by managing sales, finance, and accounting, orders, and HR instantly.
Instantly.
Right from your desktop or phone.
I want to need my headaches. I want unneeded headaches.
That's why NetSuite is the world's number one cloud business system.
Amazing.
And right now, NetSuite is offering you valuable insights with a free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits at netsuite.com/theupgrade.
I need those strategies.
That's netsuite.com/theupgrade to download your free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits. That's netsuite.com/theupgrade.
Profits! And now it's time for a segment we call Ripped from the Archives. In 2017, we had writer Samantha Irby come on The Upgrade for an episode we called How to Not Give a Shit. Since we last chatted with her, Samantha has become a writer on the hit Hulu series Shrill and has another book coming out in early 2020 called Wow, No Thank You.
We wanted to bring you this particular clip from our interview with Samantha because she talks about why it's so important to just be honest about who you really are when it comes to dating, regardless of what other people may think of you, because that's ultimately how you'll find your best match. So you're married now.
Yeah.
So you're done with all of this. No. But you, in the book, you touch on the ridiculosity and frustration of trying to find a date.
Oh, yeah.
Online. And one of the things you say is that a friend told you that you were too funny or too clever in your profile.
Yeah. So I think I still, like, have it. It's not active, but I think it's there in case my wife ever cuts up. I saw an OKCupid profile. And so I had my friend Jill, Jill was like a dater with intention, right? She decided there was time to get married and whatever. She went on eHarmony because she said that was the serious one because you pay. So like a serious, like, marrying type of person. And so she met a guy and they were getting married and she's like, let me look at your dating profile. And I was like, oh yeah, girl, here you go. It's so funny. And my screen name was Fart Throb. And she looked at me, you know, like I had just like taking a bite out of a baby, right? She was like, this is not, who are you expecting to meet? And I was like,
someone
funny. Because listen, if my dating name is like goes to school 23, you know what I mean? Or like listens to NPR with a smiley face, they're going to meet me. Like, this is like, if you're going to meet someone, if you're just, like, messing around or, like, have fun, okay, I could be like, loves the library and, you know,
right,
listens to cello concertos. But then, but, like, if somebody's going to meet me, it's like all my pictures were, like, the fattest, whaliest pictures I could take. One of them I was, like, bending over a cake. And I'm like, because, like, if you, I don't want you to roll up into the bar and be like, now, my best pictures are, like, this 3/4 of my face with my chins in shadow, right? So, like, but if I post, that's fine for Instagram, but if I post that, then, at, like, with someone who I might actually, like, want to build a, at 6 months with. It's like,
don't get carried away.
Girl, I mean, I'm hopeful. Yeah. I believe in love.
That's sweet.
So I'm like, if I really want to meet somebody, I got to be like me. And so Fart Throb is hilarious. And if you would want to be with me, you would think that was funny. And if it made you want to throw up, then you know we're not gonna work.
I mean, I think there's something, this is hilarious, obviously, but there's something really valuable here because we hear a lot from, you know, life hacker readers and we've written a lot, talked a lot about internet dating. And as you say in your book, that there is this big emphasis on showing yourself as you actually are, especially in pictures. And if you show up and you're bigger than you are in your photos, like you have
committed
a crime against humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you're saying like, yeah, like show exactly who you are, show exactly what you look like, certainly, and like be yourself in your profile.
Yeah.
And your friend was saying like, no.
Yeah.
And like, I'm wondering that if, like, the system is broken in some way. Like, I'm not saying because you didn't find your true love on OkCupid, so obviously it doesn't work. But do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. With all the emphasis, and you're saying, like, I felt perfectly comfortable being myself, and I'm sure that there are people out there who are like, well, if I'm myself, you know, I'll never meet anybody. Like, I wonder, like, what the happy medium is there, and also if, like, all of this is, like, old people talking about internet dating because yeah. everybody's on,
yeah,
like,
the kids
Tinder.
Are like, shut yeah. up, grandma.
They're like, they're like, swipe.
We don't even meet yeah. people. We have these, like, oxygen bars we go to you don't even know about. They're underground. But for those of us our age, I feel – so my whole thing was, like, I am not a real, like, take me as I am kind of person. Like, if you don't like me, it's all good. But I – what I am is kind of a lazy person. And I tried to do the thing where you pretend to be into something you're not. And it's – not only is it exhausting, but it often – if you – the longer you spend with a person – the more, like, if you pretend you don't watch TV, right, there's going to be a weekend, like, you go away for your first weekend with a person, and you're dying to watch a television, and then, you know, they go for a run, and you turn it on, and they come back and catch you, and they're like, I thought you only listened to, you know, to talk radio, and, like, I thought you were really interested in politics, you know, and you're, like, burning the newspaper for kindling. It's like, how long can you keep that going? Like, it's only – there's only so long you can, like, pretend you eat a lot of, like, salad or whatever when you just eat cheeseburgers all the time. And I feel like your person is not going to want you to lie. They're not going to – also, like, this idea that, like, you have to hold it together until some amount of time when it's okay to just let it all hang out. Why not just let it all hang out from the beginning? And I'm not against, like, wanting to make changes and, like, be better. But I feel like doing that and trying to meet a new person is real hard. Like, you could reinvent yourself as a person who doesn't watch TV, but don't date at the same time because you're going to get caught. They're going to catch you watching The Bachelorette, and then you're going to have to admit that you're a trash can. And then, you know, they'll feel like you lied. It's going to be real dramatic. And it's easier to just say, I eat food out of the garbage and watch reality television.
Thank you so much for being here, Sam.
Thank you guys for having me. This was so fun.
The Upgrade is brought to you by LinkedIn. Hey, Alice.
Hey, Melissa.
So when you're facing a dilemma at work, or you're wondering how to take the next step in your career, who do you look to?
I look to my friends and family and mentors for support.
So true. You can learn a lot from those people. But do you have any advice in particular that kind of stays with you?
Well, I think the advice that sticks with me is from my mentor, Teddy Roosevelt, who said, speak softly and carry a big stick.
Incredibly good advice.
And that's what I do. That's why I'm carrying this this cudgel with me at all times.
LinkedIn's new podcast, Hello Monday with Jesse Hempel, is back for season 2. And the show is filled with just that kind of advice, Alice.
Amazing.
It's the kind of advice that stays with you.
Okay, good. All right. Just like this stick stays with me all the time.
Each week, Jesse sits down with featured guests to uncover lessons you can apply to your career.
Find Hello Monday with Jesse Hempel on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. And now it's time for Upgrade of the Week, where we talk about that one tiny thing that's making a big difference in our lives. Melissa, what's your upgrade this week?
As you know, I was cycling through the mad streets of Manhattan with my AirPods in.
Yes.
Which I don't want to hear from anyone about.
You can do it.
Keep it low.
Okay.
So, you know, serves me right. One of my AirPods fell out.
Yes.
In a very busy section of Manhattan. Gone forever. I ordered another one. Whether or not I deserve another one, I decided not to interrogate myself on that.
Okay.
I ordered another one on eBay. And I saved a pretty penny.
Really?
Yeah. It, as far as I can tell, is an Apple AirPod.
Okay.
Left ear. It looks just like the other one.
Okay.
And it fits right into the case, and it immediately paired with my phone, and everything's cool again. And I'm not really certain how it was possible for me to buy a new unboxed AirPod.
Yeah.
Someone's got a connection at the factory, or it's a really good knockoff. But I think it's real.
Okay.
And, you know, I'll keep you posted if it breaks.
Yeah.
You know, okay. I deserve it.
Or start sending you messages.
Right. Or, yeah, starts recording me.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, remains to be seen.
Okay. Well, that's
hopefully,
my upgrade.
Hopefully it's an upgrade.
It could be a downgrade. It could be the worst mistake I ever made. What's your upgrade, Alice?
As you know, I swore off social media.
Oh, right.
Wasn't entirely successful, but I mostly kind of did it.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things I did was I deleted Instagram from my phone. Turns out I love Instagram. Instagram is my favorite thing. I wanted it back. You're shocked, I know.
Other people love the ballet.
And I know, but me.
You
I love
Instagram. It's your
Instagram.
Passion.
It's my passion. So what I did was I brought it back, but I've muted everyone I know, except for, like, you know, my husband, I guess. Whatever. He's never on Instagram. Basically, I muted everyone but dog accounts and mental health accounts. So uplifting messages, cute dogs. It's a stream of wonder.
Okay, you're not veering off?
No.
You're still partaking in the marketplace of ideas that is Instagram.
It's true.
You can be tagged.
Yes.
You can, I guess you can't see what other people like anymore.
Yeah, and this isn't about privacy or whatnot. I can still post my own things if I feel like it. I haven't felt inclined to.
You're aware you sound like an addict.
Yes, I do. But I don't
I can
care.
Do it. I can drink. I can have just a drink with friends.
I feel like it helps my mental health. This is Mental Health Week. I declare Instagram to be helpful. I look at dog pictures.
I support you in this.
Thank you.
And that's our show. The Upgrade is produced by Michaela Heck and mixed by Brad Fisher.
Please rate us on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. We recently received this one, which is kind of overwhelming, from Capitan Minui. Best chemistry in podcasting. Saying a lot. Neither of the co-hosts are allowed to leave the show. I don't know what this person knows that we don't, but okay. All of podcasting would wither and die if the dream team got broken up. We're a dream team, Melissa.
I was aware that we were a dream team, and Capitan Minui actually knows that I, you know, big podcast has come courting me.
Well,
and they're trying to lure me away.
You can hear it. You heard it here.
Yeah, they're trying to keep me here through the courthouse that is Apple Podcast Reviews.
That's right. Thank you, Capitan Minui, for fighting the good fight. You can also reach us by calling us at 347-687-8109 and leaving a voicemail, or write to us or send us a voice memo at upgrade@lifehacker.com.
You can also find us on Twitter @lifehacker, on Instagram @lifehacker.com, all one word, and on Facebook @facebook.com/lifehacker. Sign up for Lifehacker's daily newsletter, full of tips and tricks and hacks, at lifehacker.com/newsletter. And you can find show notes for this and every episode of The Upgrade at lifehacker.com/the show. Oh, this is a good one. I think people are going to like this.
They're going to get a lot out.
They're going to get a lot out of it.
I just think I've forgotten how to speak.
They're
going to get a lot out of it. Here's what's going to happen. They're going to get...
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.